Well, it is a joy to be here this morning to share with you about the work that's going on in Romania. In this service, I'm going to share with you the ministries that Hope International Missions is involved in Romania, give you an update on some of the really excited things that have been happening in the ministry, and I'm also going to talk to you about how you can get involved in helping us share Jesus with the children and youth in Romania. First, I bring you greetings from Brother Sid Grant. He is the president of Hope International Missions. I was down in Florida in the beginning of my deputation. He wanted to make sure I give you his greeting. I also bring you greetings from Brother Ed Durham. He's the regional director of Eastern Europe and Russia. Brother Durham and his wife Heather have recently moved to Budapest, Hungary. They're spearheading a new work there, and they were in Romania just a week or so before I left and came back to the States. They wanted me to be sure to give you their greeting. I also bring you greetings from the church in Romania. Pastor Yvonne and the congregation there wanted me to share a specific passage of scripture with you. They have a church motto every year, and this is their church motto. And they wanted me to be sure to share the scripture with every church that I visit. You find that in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29. I'll read it first in Romanian. For those of you who don't understand Romanian, I'll then tell it to you in English. Evrei 12, again, Hebrews 12, versete 28 și 29, verse 28 and verse 29. Fiindcă am primit dar împărăția, care nu se poate clătina, să ne stăm mulțumitori și aducem astfel lui Dumnezeu închinare plăcută, cu evlavie și cu frică, fiindcă Dumnezeu nostru este un foc mistuitor. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. They would say to you, Domnul să vă binecuvânteze, the Lord bless you, and pace voa, which is peace to you. I bring you one more greeting, a greeting from the children and youth in Talpiș. They often ask about the people and the churches that I visit that support them. They realize that God's people give so the ministry can continue. They have a message for all of you. I don't know if anybody in this service this morning has been to Romania, but if you've been to Romania, they would ask you, when are you coming back to Romania? For those of you who haven't been to Romania, their question to you is, when are you coming to visit them? They want you to know that their doors are always open. The little girl, Alexandra, our youngest orphan, she said to me, make sure you tell them that the house is clean so they can come and visit anytime. And so they want you to know that the doors are open. And they would also say pace to you, which is peace to you. When you meet a Christian in Romania, you shake their hand and you say peace. And so they would say pace to you. I understand there are some ushers here this morning who are going to be handing out. I have envelopes right here in the front. Whoever my ushers are, if you would come forward. Brother Ziegler, talk to you guys. Okay, perfect. I have sets right here. Make sure every single person gets an envelope, because inside the envelope are prayer cards. Here's some, there's some. If you need somewhere else, I have a box right there. There you go. And you can give half to that fellow right there. There you go. And make sure everybody gets an envelope, even the kids, because inside you will find prayer cards. Go ahead, guys. You can start handing them out. That's great. As I speak to you about a child or a ministry, there'll be pictures on hand that you can make connections with the names and the faces and the ministries that we're involved in. I'm going to first talk to you about Casa Speranza. It's called the House of Hope. When you receive your envelope, you can pull out the bookmark-style prayer card. The House of Hope is the orphanage that Hope International Missions has been involved in since the beginning stages. We've continued that involvement over the past 10 years. As you take up the prayer card, you'll see we have six children pictured on the front, six children pictured on the back. These are the 12 children and young people that we're working with. But actually, we have one more guy that I need to introduce you to. His name is Danuț. Danuț came to live at the House of Hope a week before I left Romania to come to the States. Danuț's father had recently moved to our village to work as a shepherd for one of the farmers there. Up until last year, Danuț had actually been living with his mother. But for whatever reason, Danuț's mother chose to hang herself. She committed suicide. Danuț found her hanging in the barn. It was a very sad situation. Since that time, he's begun to stutter. We hope to get him some treatment while he's with us at the House of Hope. After his mother passed away, he went to live with his aunt. She had five children. She wasn't able to care for him anymore, so they contacted Danuț's dad. Danuț's dad came to us. He says, I'm a shepherd. I have no place to call home. I spend most of my time in the fields. I sleep in barns. And he actually really didn't want the hassle of caring for his son. So Danuț came and joined our family. Danuț is 10 years old. Danuț doesn't know his ABCs. He's never been to school. Danuț actually had never even held a pencil. We actually had to show him how to hold a pencil. He began drawing lines just like a little 2- and 3-year-old child, because he never had a crayon. He never had a pencil. Danuț had never brushed his teeth, and he never slept in a nice comfy bed. Danuț was thrilled to have his first bath in a bathtub at the House of Hope. Well, I probably shouldn't say at first he was thrilled. At first he was a little scared. I had to stay there right with him because he didn't know how to use the water. He didn't know what to do with the soap, and he was afraid he was going to drown because he'd never been in a bathtub before. So I sat there with him. Once he got used to it, I could hardly get him out of the bathtub, but that was a different story. Once he got out of the bathtub, the first thing he said is he looked at his skin and he said, "I'm so white." He'd never seen himself without a layer of filth, basically, over his skin. He left a nice ring around the bathtub, but it was his first time, and he enjoyed having his first bath. Along with having his first bath, Danutz had his first bowl of cereal. He had never eaten cereal. And Danutz received his first toy. I gave him a toy truck. He'd never had a toy, 10 years of age. And he had his first toy truck. I don't know if you can imagine the joy that he experienced the first week being at the House of Hope. He was in awe, and he was so thankful for everything. Things we take for granted: shoes that fit, clean clothes, having a bathroom, which is something he hadn't had. And the House of Hope was meant for children just like Danutz. We're doing our best to provide for the physical, educational, emotional, and spiritual needs of these children. I think all of you received your prayer cards. You can take out the prayer card that says House of Hope. If you take a look at the first half of the prayer card, we have Alexandra, Razvan, Larissa, Denisa. Those four are siblings. We have Georgie and Marius. Those are also siblings. These six children are not orphans. These children have their parents. They're living, but their parents have chosen not to take care of them, or they didn't want to take care of them. And if you flip the prayer card over, we have Nelly, Elvie. Those two girls are sisters. Alex, he's there. He doesn't have a sibling with us. Christy and TB are siblings, and Doreen. These six children are orphans in the sense that their fathers have passed away, the primary breadwinner, and the mothers weren't able to care for them or chose not to care for them. And all of these children have come to live at the House of Hope, and they are part of our family. We make sure the children are well cared for, and we love them and care for them as our own. I don't live at the House of Hope. You'll see the building right on the right-hand side in the corner. That's the House of Hope. We actually have a Romanian staff who works there a full-time basis. I live right down the street at the Fellowship Center. But even though I don't live at the House of Hope, I am involved in the orphanage work on a daily basis. Eight of the youngest children come to my house every afternoon and have supper at my house. What they do is they get done with school around 12:30, 1 o'clock. They have lunch at the House of Hope. Then they get help with their homework. In the village, school goes until 8th grade. The teachers in the village aren't the best teachers, and so a lot of times the kids need help, extra help with their homework after they get done with school, and so the ladies at the orphanage help the youngest children. After they're done, the eight youngest ones, they come to my house, and the older ones get help with their homework. It's a much quieter environment without all the little kids running around. So as I said, the kids have supper at my house. We have a set schedule. The children know that who's responsible to do what for that day. I have a schedule that's up. We have two children that are responsible to help me prepare the meal, two children who are responsible for washing the dishes and putting them away, and one of the children is responsible for setting the table and cleaning up the table and sweeping and mopping if necessary. Now, for those of you who complain about your chores, these kids don't complain about the chores. This is something they really enjoy doing because at the House of Hope, it's not really feasible for them to go into the kitchen and learn to cook and help to cook. So this gives them a chance to learn to prepare food. It also gives them a chance to clean up and play with water and things like that. They love it. They do a great job. Besides eating supper at my house, we also have a blast playing games and sports. They keep me young. It's really great. We sing, we bake, we make crafts. But we also take time to chat about anything and basically everything. We talk about school, friends, family. You'll see some of them are older. We're starting to talk about boys and girls and relationships, which is a little scary to me because I can't believe they're that old. But we do. But more importantly, we talk about God and His Word. These children, none of them come from Christian homes. But one of them had never been in a church before they came to live at the House of Hope. And so this is the time that God has given us to shape their character and their ideas about God and His Word and their beliefs about God. It's also a time that God has given us to teach them to respect others and so they can learn the basic rules of obedience and behaving. At home, again, these children basically did whatever they wanted. They were not used to being told what to do. They basically played on the streets. They came home when they wanted. They did their own thing. One of the things we've done over the past year or so to help them with behaving and obedience, they started a point system. I made a chart, and all the children's names are listed on the left-hand side, and then next to their name we have boxes. And then next to the boxes, we're able to put a check mark. Now, if the children demonstrate a bad behavior, or they talk back more than they should, or maybe they fight amongst themselves, or they misbehave in church, or have a bad attitude, they get a little check mark. for about a week or 10 days, depending on how bad they've been. We kind of keep an eye on that. I keep an eye on that chart. The kids who have a check mark receive some sort of punishment. Again, depending on how many check marks, what they did, depends on what kind of punishment they receive. The kids who have no points are eligible for a fun trip to town, which is a little over an hour away, which usually includes a trip to McDonald's, which they absolutely love. Or they get to sleep over at my house. Now, as I said, we do live over an hour away from the city, so during the school year, the reward has been to sleep over at my house. We haven't really been able to go to town. The kids are a little sad this summer because I'm here, and this would be the time that we'd have a few more fun excursions out into the city, but I'm here and they're there, and that's just the way that it works. But during the school year, they were able to sleep at my house. When I first arrived in Romania, I was living at the Mission House. Since we built the Fellowship Center, I now live upstairs in the Fellowship Center. Having moved to the Fellowship Center has been a huge blessing. Many, many reasons, but the main reason is upstairs in the Fellowship Center is larger, and I have room for a lot more kids. So, about once a week, the kids who have been well-behaved sleep over at my house and then go to school from my house. If it's a Friday night, they just spend Friday night and hang out there Saturday morning. I've had up to 10 of the kids at one time sleeping over. Since we started the point system, we've found that their behaviors and their attitudes have improved tremendously. They work harder at being obedient because, first, of course, they don't want to be punished. That's one of the things. But secondly, they don't want to miss out on all the fun. So that's been really encouragement to work with them and see how they've been behaving better. Of course, not all is fun and game with kids. We all know that. When I'm there, I usually do take care of most of the discipline. And also, I take care of most of the medical problems that occurred. I worked as a registered nurse for over 7 years in the States. That's proven to be very helpful when the children are sick. I take them to the dentist, I take them to the eye doctor, and take them to any other appointment that they may have. Along with having the kids in the afternoon during the week, Saturday morning the kids spend Saturday morning at my house. I'm very happy because for breakfast they like cereal, which is a very easy breakfast to prepare for them. And also what we do is we spend Saturday, they're there till about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And again, we just have all different kinds of activities, sometimes just sitting around and chatting and having nice family time. Most parents can understand when I say that sometimes it gets so busy that it's really important for me to remember to take time for each one of the children to sit down and talk to them, because we don't really know how long the children will be with us. Just this year, we had something occur at the House of Hope that reminded us that every moment we have with a child is precious. If you receive my updates, you would receive you probably heard about or read about Gabriella. In February of this year, Gabriella came to live with us. Gabriella was unwanted by her mother. Her father never acknowledged who he was, and her grandmother had actually wanted her to be aborted. When Gabriella's grandmother came home, or Gabriella's mother came home, and she told the grandmother she was pregnant, she said, "Get rid of the child. You're too young. It's too much of a hassle. I don't want you to have the baby." But Gabriella's mother chose to have the baby, but a week after she had Gabriella, she brought Gabriella to the grandmother, left her there, and hasn't been seen since. So Gabriella has been raised by a grandmother who almost every day reminds her that she was not wanted and that no one really wanted to accept them as her own. Well, Gabriella's grandmother came to us and she said, "I'm going to be moving to your village. I have a son in your village. He has two children. His girlfriend's having another child soon. They want me to come and help." And so Gabriella doesn't really fit in the family dynamics of our home. So can she come to live at the House of Hope? We were glad to take Gabriella in. As you can tell, Gabriella, just as she looks here, she was a cheerful, bubbly little girl who was such a joy to have. And while at the orphanage, Gabriella told me that for the first time in her life, she felt loved and wanted. Because all of her life, she'd been told that no one wanted her, that no one loved her. And she was able to have a time at the orphanage, at the House of Hope, that she felt that someone really loved her and cared about her. Also, for the first time in her life, Gabriella heard someone praying. The kids were around the table, they were praying for their meal. And after they got done, she looked at me and she said, "Who are they talking to?" And I was able to introduce her to Jesus, and I was able to tell her about someone who would always love her and always care about her and truly loved her for who she was. If you take a look at the prayer card, you'll notice that Gabriella's not on her prayer card. It was only about 10 days after she came to live at the House of Hope, the grandmother came back. She said, "I'm not getting along with the girlfriend. The kids aren't listening to me. It's too hard. I'm going back to my village, and I'm going to take Gabriella back with me." Even though she knew Gabriella wanted to stay with us, and Gabriella would have a better life with us, she chose to take Gabriela back with her. Because she wasn't interested in Gabriela's best interest. She was interested in how much wood she could carry, how much water she could haul, and how well she could work in the garden. Gabriela's grandmother hadn't been physically abusive to her. We couldn't force her to allow her to stay with us. So almost as quickly as Gabriela came into our lives, she was no longer a part of our lives. It was a tearful goodbye. I cried. Another staff member cries. She cried. The children also cried. But my prayer is that the short time she was with us, we were able to make an eternal impact in her life. We realize that our labors are not in vain. We've had children we've worked with. We work with over 40 children over the past 10 years. Some of their family members come back. Most of the time what happens is they get to an age where they don't want to follow the rules, they don't want to attend church, and so they choose to leave and go live with another family member. But we believe what Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are making a difference in the lives of these children, but we realize we couldn't do what God has called us to do if God's people didn't pray and God's people didn't give. Unfortunately, the monthly support for the House of Hope over the past year or so has been dropping some. We could see the economic crisis in America has affected us. And we've been struggling to meet the monthly on-field budget. Our monthly on-field budget is $3,400. My goal this summer is to raise enough monthly support to cover the monthly budget. It would be nice to get a little bit extra to have a cushion every month. More towards the end of the service, I'm going to talk to you about how you can get involved. These children have progressed in all aspects of their life. And I shudder to think where these children would be if they hadn't come to live at the House of Hope. Every single one of them have sad stories. I've been in all their homes except one. They come from one-room homes, dirt floors, no running water, no electricity. They come from poverty. They all have sad stories. This morning, I don't have time to share all their stories, but I'm going to talk to you about a family that we have. If you look at the prayer card where it says House of Hope, we have Alexandra. Alexandra is 5 years old. She just finished kindergarten. Rizvan is 8 years old. He just finished second grade. Larissa is 11 years old. She just finished fourth grade. And Denise is 13 years old. She just finished eighth grade. Their father came to us about 2.5 years ago, and he wanted to see about placing the children in our care. What had happened is one day the kids came home from school, and the mother was gone. They don't know where she went. They don't know why she left. They had no idea she was going to leave. When she first left, she did take Alexandra. Alexandra would have been almost three years of age when she came. And the mother left, and so the mother took her, but 2 days later, she snuck back into the village of Alexandra, came to a family member's home, put Alexandra out in front of the gate, and she snuck away and left Alexandra there, crying and screaming, not making sure anybody had seen her child. Now, you have to understand the gates and fences in Romania are not like we're used to. You can't see through the gates and fences in Romania. And so she didn't stay to make sure someone would find her baby. She left her there, no shoes, no shirt, there, abandoned, outside in the street. A family member finally did find Alexandra, as I said, screaming and crying. We don't know how long she was there, left outside on the street. But what we do know is that when Alexandra came to live at the House of Hope, she was so withdrawn and so solemn and so sad. I can make almost any child smile after I'm with them for a certain amount of time. It was very difficult with her. She was probably one of the most somber children I've ever met. And she would begin crying for no apparent reason, at least no apparent physical reason. I would ask her, "Are you hungry?" She said, "No, no me fame, I'm not hungry." "Do you feel sick? Are you sick?" "No, nu sunt bolnavă." "Did something hurt you?" And she'd say, "No, no, nothing. I'm not sick. Nothing hurts me." I would hold her. I would let her cry. But now over 2.5 years have passed. And if you take a look at the picture, she hardly seems like the same little girl. You'll see her smiling face. If you could hear her musical laugh and see her bubbly personality, you would hardly remember that somber little girl from a little over 2 years ago. The father told us that he later found out that while he was at work, the mother had opened the home to provide services for men. We'll be a little discreet. And sadly, just recently we found out, Rizvan told me just a few months ago, a few weeks before I left Romania, that one of these men had been inappropriate with him on many occasions. We've taken Rizvan to see a Christian psychologist. We felt that it was above and beyond what we could help him with. We also wanted to be sure that it was documented somewhere what had happened, so if for any reason his mother would ever come back for him, we would be able to prove that that would not be the type of environment that he would go back to. When these kids first came to live at the House of Hope, you can imagine their emotional state. Their mother had abandoned them for no apparent reason, and we don't even know what they had been exposed to even before they came to live at the House of Hope. I remember when Razvan shared his secret with me, he was sitting at my kitchen table, he was bawling and he was crying. He hadn't told anybody what had happened. But after that day, that same evening, we saw such a positive change in his behavior. And we realized that many of his behaviors and his explosive reactions were surely related to the abuse that occurred. And because he kept a secret for so long. I've thought about it since that day. What would have happened if Razvan would have continued to live in the same house where the abuse occurred? Or what if Razvan would have never shared his secret with anybody? I also talked to the Christian psychologist about it. And she said, we know and we have proof that, of course, every child will grow up fighting these memories, and almost always does that child grow up and do the same thing to another child. But I've also talked to the Christian psychologist and I've thought about it since then. We don't have to worry about what could have been. Razvan is now living in a loving and safe environment, free of abuse. And God has changed his life. And his life has changed because he came to live at the House of Hope. I've had people ask me this question, and maybe you've thought it. Sally, is it worth it? All the money, all the stress, all the effort, living in a foreign country, is it worth it working with orphaned and needy children? I don't think I really have to answer the question. I think the results speak for themselves. Here we have children that we've been able to take in and not only care for their physical and psychological needs, but also their spiritual needs. Denisa, the fourth one in, as I told you, in our winter revival, God spoke to her heart. She gave her heart to the Lord. She's been serving the Lord since then, and she plans to be baptized in the fall. If you flip the prayer card, we have Nellie, the first one. She's 14 years old. She also gave her heart to the Lord in our winter revival. She's serving the Lord, and she plans to be baptized in the fall. The last one, Doreen, is 23 years old. Doreen has been a Christian for over 6 years. God has been helping him. He's a wonderful Christian young man. He's been working in the church. He's active in the church. God has been helping him. And we are making a difference in the lives of these children. We're seeing how God is helping them. We don't just see a physical change. We also are seeing a psychological and spiritual change. And God is helping them to mature and draw closer to him. Let's move on from the House of Hope. I'm going to talk to you about the Hope Christian Fellowship Center. If you find the other prayer card, you see the building right there on the top of the prayer card. You also see just some of the children and youth that we work with on a weekly basis. After seeing all the ungodly things in the village, we had 5 bars and 2 discos in our small village. We felt God laying it on our heart to build the fellowship center. We wanted to have a place where children and young people could get together, have fun activities, Christian fellowship together, but more importantly, a place where they could learn about God and his word. We knew that the worldly attractions were drawing them, and we wanted to have a place that was specifically for having a Christian environment, and as I said, learning about God. I'm going to first talk to you about the kids' club. The kids and some of the kids are pictured on the left side of the prayer card. I meet 3 times a week with the children from the village. We play games, have activities. They have a parachute we love to play with. We have an object lesson. We always have a Bible study and a time of prayer. Most of these children come from non-Christian homes. There are some of the kids that are from the church that visit or are part of it, but most of them come from non-Christian homes, and it's been a joy to be able to teach them about God and his word. And actually, it's also been thrilling to see an increase of number of children that attend church since we started the activities at the Fellowship Center. Over the years, the pastor of the local church, Pastor Yvonne, he's been very good about integrating these children from the Fellowship Center into the church. He came to me several years ago and he said, Sally, why don't we see if we can get kind of a kids' choir together, prepare songs for Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, revivals, and also have the kids learn verses, have them learn Christian poetry, things like that. And then what we'll do is when the kids come in, through this, the kids began to feel a stronger connection to the church family because they saw the church family much more often. And also these kids' family members, mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts, would come to the church to hear the kids sing and to quote verses. And so through this, they were also able to hear God's word. And our prayer is that these family members will also come to know God as their Savior through these special services. last special service that we had in the church was Easter time, and I actually recorded that service. I brought a song from the children singing a song at our Easter service. I'm sure you recognize the song. I'm pretty sure you recognize the song. And this is one of the songs the kids sang. We'll just listen to a verse of the kids singing at our Easter Sunday morning. Sing the verse, but if they know the song, they'll sing the chorus along with the children. And also, I have some of the young people that used to sing with the kids when they were younger, and they like the songs and they sing along with us. So you did hear some mature voices in there towards the end. Now that I've been in Romania 10 years, I have some children that have grown up and are now part of our youth group. You'll see some of the young people that I work with on a weekly basis. I've taught the Sunday school class. I teach, and I still continue to teach the teen Sunday school class. And we also meet an additional 3 times a week at the Fellowship Center. We play games. They like sports. One of their favorite things to play is volleyball. We have Foursquare. We have some ping pong tables. And, of course, we have devotions. We have Bible studies. And we also have specific youth topics that we talk about. Just because they're young people from another country doesn't mean they don't struggle with the same thing that young people struggle with all over the world. So we've had youth topics. This year, the number of teens attending the gatherings at the center has increased tremendously. I'm really excited about this. Not all the teens choose to attend church, but my prayer is that through these different activities that they'll be drawn to the Lord and one day choose to serve Him. However, we do have a core group of young people that attend church, are trying to serve God. God has been helping them, and that's actually those young people you'll see pictured on the right-hand side of that little group there. And actually, the last baptism we had at the church, all but one of the candidates were from our youth group. And we have 3 more teens this fall who plan to be baptized. It's been an encouragement to see God working in these young people's lives and as they're choosing to follow God. I have to tell you that not only do the children enjoy singing, but the young people also enjoy singing. They sing about every other Sunday evening in church, and I've brought a song from their singing on a Sunday evening. It's from the church. You'll hear some extra noises again. It wasn't anything very, very professional. This song, most of you should know, it's called Lord, Touch Your People Once Again. This is the young people singing one Sunday evening. In the churches in Romania, they don't have a testimony time where you stand up and have a testimony. The way that you testify to the Lord is that you can sing a song, you can read scripture verses, or you can quote Christian poetry, and you can have a few words before the song or before you read the verses or quote Christian poetry. And so Sunday evening, if you feel God laying it on your heart, if you would like to testify to what the Lord has done for you, you go up front and you talk to the person who's responsible for leading the song service. They'll write you down into the schedule. And on a Sunday evening, we may have 4 or 5 special songs. We may have two or three people reading scriptures. We may have two or three people quoting Christian poetry. So in this way, this is how they testify to what God has done for them. The young people, since I began to work with them and working with their parts and things like that, they're the ones who came to me and said, Sally, we would like to sing almost every other Sunday evening. In that way, this is how we can worship the Lord and how we can testify what God has done for us. And so, as I said, it's been an encouragement to see God working in their lives and how they're showing that God has really saved them and that they're continuing to serve Him and wanting to do more for Him. Along with working with the young people and the children and the orphans, I continue to have a Bible study every week with a large group of gypsy children in a neighboring village of Batur. In a Sunday afternoon service, I would normally have anywhere between 80 to 120 children. These children come. These gypsy children are poorer than the Romanian children. Many of them don't have basic amenities. They don't have a lot of things that we're used to. And over the years, I've tried to help them by sharing God's word, but I've also tried to help them in more of a humanitarian way. Every child that comes to my service receives a bar of soap. And if they know their Bible verse, they receive an additional bar of soap. So it's an encouragement for them to learn their memory verse from the week before. When I first started working with the children, I was giving them candy. I worked with children in the States. I know you give them candy. I thought I knew, at least. When I first started working with them, I was using an interpreter about 9 years ago. And the interpreter said to me, have you thought about giving them something more useful? I said, well, what do you think would be more useful? They said, how about a health and beauty aid supply? I said, okay, well, I guess we'll try something. I decided to bring soap the next Sunday. I was a little skeptical. So when I went the next Sunday, I decided to offer them either a candy bar or a bar of soap. They had an option so they could choose. After we got done with the service and all the children started filing out, I gave them the option of choosing a candy bar or a bar of soap. Every single child chose a bar of soap. Soap is something that they don't have. I don't take candy to my services anymore. I give them a bar of soap. Well, of course, you can understand that I would have some problems with crowd control without those many children. The gypsy pastor does help me as much as he can. Actually, this winter, I had to put the services on hold for a short time. He was not available to help me on Sundays. Sunday was the only day that they make a fire in the church, and Sunday was the only day that the church was warm. He was busy pastoring other churches. But when he's there, he makes sure that they behave very well. I wouldn't do what he does, surely. He comes to church with a big old stick. And if the kids misbehave, he'll smack them on the head to make sure they behave. It works. When he's not there, it's very, very difficult. I don't have services when he's not there. That's how he does it. That's okay. But I also do something just a little different that helps. What I started doing is I used to give the soaps to the children as they would walk out the door. What I started doing is I decided as the children would walk in the door, we have all the kids, as they'd walk in the door, I'd hand them the bar of soap. And if they knew the Bible verse, they'd get their other bar of soap. But they'd sit down. We have to lock the door when it's time to start. I give the kids about 5 minutes leeway time if they're a little late, because I had children coming 5 minutes before service was over. They're very disruptive, so the children know that they have to be there in time, so most of the time there's a line waiting for me when I get there. But what I decided to do is the kids walked in, I would hand them their soap, they would sit down, we'd get everybody settled, and I said, okay, everybody has their soap, right? Let's take a look at it. Doesn't it smell really good? Isn't it really great to have? If I have a problem with you in my service, and I have to talk to you more than once, or you're misbehaving, I will take your bar of soap away, and I will send you home. Well, I had a few children who didn't quite believe me the first service. They didn't know me very well, I guess. And so they kind of did a few things. And, you know, I understand I have to be a little bit, the children are used to doing their own thing. So we can't expect them to sit very, very quietly like we would our own children. So they misbehaved. I took their soap away, and I sent the little guy home. If you would have seen all of their eyes get very big. And since that time, I don't have a lot of problems with misbehaving with the children. Because, for one thing, they don't want to go home without a bar of soap. And if they do go home without a bar of soap, they actually get a beating from their parents. Because the parents realize they get soap coming to the service. And if they go home without soap, they are very, very upset. How many of our American kids would you know behave for a bar of soap? How many of us think it's a privilege to have a bar of soap? At Christmas time, I'm also able to give these children a bag full of health and beauty aid supplies. I have one church that's been very generous over the years. And so I prepare, we call them gypsy packs, is what we call them, Christmas packs. They're filled with soap, shampoo, laundry detergent, not the kind that we put in, you know, the little washing machine, the hand laundry detergent, toothbrush, toothpaste, toothbrushes, depending on how many finances, depending on what I can put in the bags. When I first started working with the children, I was very naive. And so I would come with my car all packed during the day and get ready to hand out the packs. Well, the children would see that my car full, and I would have 300 children come running to get a pack. I really couldn't afford to make 300 packs. I really didn't have space for 300 packs. And I really wanted the packs to go to the children who would go to my services on a regular basis. That was kind of their reward to be involved in the services. So we changed it up a little bit. I would then, after the first year, I would go to the church, my car filled, at night. We would sneak at night so they wouldn't see my car. And I would put the things in the corner of the church somewhere. And then a few days later, I'd come and hand out the packs. That worked for about a year or two. And the children began to get wise. And around Christmas time, they would all be looking out to see if they could see my car in the evenings every night, 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. If they would see my car, they'd make sure they got the word out to all the children, and the next time I would come with my car, I would still have hundreds of children coming to get the bags. We then had to change it up, and this has been working well for the past 2 years. The gypsy pastor finally has a vehicle. He has a smaller vehicle than I do, but what he does is he comes still at night. He comes to my house. We put the packs in the back of the car, and he sneaks to the church in the evening, still cover of darkness, and hides them in the church somewhere. But the children aren't quite as alarmed because he comes and goes a lot from the church. And then I come a few days later and hand out the bags to the children. When I first saw the children's reaction, and I was almost stampeded by them, it never crossed my mind that these children are so bad. I never thought that. It never crossed my mind that, oh, they're uncontrolled and look how bad they are. No. I thought how poor these children are. That they get so excited for soap, shampoo, lotion. We don't think about those things. When I went to Romania, I was planning on teaching the children some things, but you know that these kids taught me a lot. We need to be thankful and not forget to thank God for how blessed we really are in America. I don't think any of us are for lack of soap this morning. Sometimes we take so many things for granted, and God has blessed us so much, and let's not forget to thank God for what we have and how blessed we are in America. Well, I've shared with you about the ministries that were involved in Romania, and now I want to talk to you about how you can get involved. If you would please take your envelope that you received. It says, I would like to be part of the ministry in Romania. With God's help, I will. First and foremost, pray for the ongoing work. That is the most important thing that you can do for us. We need your prayer support. I need your prayer support. The staff members at the House of Hope, the children, the young people, we need your prayer support. Often I've sent out prayer requests. You've let me know that you're praying for me. Thank you so much. It's been an encouragement. But I want you to continue to pray for the ongoing work. We know that without the prayers of God's people, the work could not continue. And we know that when God's people pray, great things happen. Prayer is a vital aspect of all the ministries of Romania. Many of you are already praying on a regular basis. Thank you so much. I'm asking you to continue to pray for this ongoing work. You also see we need your financial support. Just as I said, we couldn't carry on without your prayer support, we can't carry on without your financial support. I talked to you a little earlier about the House of Hope. If you would like to give on a monthly basis to the House of Hope, there's a part where you can check off. You would like to pledge either $10 a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, or $100 a month. Now, why did I break that down? Well, this is what I figured out. If 50 people would give $10 a month, if 40 people would give $25 a month, if 20 people would give $50 a month, and I could talk 10 people into giving $10 a month or $100 a month, we would reach our goal and actually have a little bit more extra to help us cover any unexpected expenses. So if you feel God putting it on your heart to give on a monthly basis to the House of Hope, you can mark those boxes. Then we also have contribute monthly to the Fellowship Center. We do have ongoing expenses, water, heat, electricity, general upkeep of the building. You can put a check there. If you'd like to contribute to my monthly support, you can check that right there. Or maybe you say, I really can't give on a monthly basis, but I'd like to donate a certain amount towards either the House of Hope, the Fellowship Center, or my support. You can check that right there. Fill out the information, name, address. If you would like to receive updates via postal mail or email, you can put a check right there. Fill out this information. You can drop the envelope in the offering plate, or you can hand it to me on the way out the door. I'll be standing next to my table. Or maybe you say, I'm not sure what I would like to give. I want to go home and pray about it. You can take the envelope home, and then the Hope International's missions address is at the bottom of the envelope. You can fill that information, take your check, fill it out to Hope International Missions, and send it to them. Just please make sure that your gift is clearly marked for where you would like it to go, either the House of Hope, the Fellowship Center, or my support. I also, back on my table, I have a table in the back. I have some curios from Romania. There are some new prayer cards. Some of you received prayer cards. If you would like extra prayer cards, please take some back there. If you don't receive my newsletter, it's called Taupush Today, and you don't fill out an envelope and you would like to receive a newsletter, you can sign up on the sign-up sheet out there. Also, I have different books. I have some pamphlets you can take a look at. If you have any questions, I'll be at my table after the service. I want to thank you so much for having me here, allowing me to share with you about the work that's going on in Romania. It's my privilege to be here, but I count it a greater privilege to work with the children and young people in Romania. Right before I left Romania, I asked the kids from the House of Hope to write down a few things they liked about living there. I've been in Romania now 10 years. I've never asked this of the children before. I wanted to do that this year, and I didn't get involved in what they wrote. I wasn't there with them when they were writing. I didn't tell them what they should write. If they didn't know how to write, one of the older children helped them. And so I just wanted kids to be honest and write what they really feel about living at the House of Hope. Again, I don't have time to share all their answers. I'm going to pick and choose a few of them. And again, if you want to take out the prayer card, you can take a look at the children that I'm telling you which child said what they said. The first one I'm going to tell you is going to be, let's choose Alexandra. Alexandra, as I said, she's 5 years old. She's been with us for 2.5 years. This is what she said. I like it at the House of Hope because I have clothes. I like it at the House of Hope because I have toys. I like it at the House of Hope because I can go to kindergarten. I like it at the House of Hope because I have someone who loves me. Let's talk about Larissa. She's two pictures over. She's 11 years old. She's also been with us 2.5 years. This is what she says. Now, a lot of them talk about learning and being able to go to school because none of their parents know how to read and write. And so this is something very special to them because she also mentions about being able to learn. This is what Larissa says. She says, I like it at the House of Hope because we have something to eat. I like it at the House of Hope because I can learn. I like it at the House of Hope because I feel loved. I like it at the House of Hope because I can go to church. Let's talk about Marius. He's the last one on the front. He's 8 years old. Marius has been with us since he's 17 months old. He is my clown. Marius is a blast. He's so much fun. This is what he says. I like it at the House of Hope because I receive food. I like it at the House of Hope because I have nice cars. I like it at the House of Hope because I have stuffed animals. I like it at the House of Hope because I have a beautiful family. We have Elvira. If you flip the prayer card over, she's the second one over. She's 11 years old. She's been with us since she's 3 years old. This is what she says. I like it at the House of Hope because I have a nice room. I like it at the House of Hope because there is heat. I like it at the House of Hope because I am loved. I like it at the House of Hope because I have a big family. Let's talk about Danuts. Danuts was there a week. I was curious what he would say. He had one of the girls write it down for him, and this is what he said. I like it at the House of Hope because I receive food. I like it at the House of Hope because I have a beautiful home. I like it at the House of Hope because I have a bed. I like it at the House of Hope because I am clean. And I like it at the House of Hope because I can take a bath. It's still amazing to me how thankful they are for the little things. Even the children who've been there for 7 or 8 years, they're still thankful for clothes, for food, for heat. That should really kind of tell you the kind of poverty that they came from, what they were used to having. They haven't forgotten where they came from. I wanted you to understand how much your giving matters. Because you give, there are some people in this congregation that give on a regular basis. Thank you so much. Because you gave and because you give, and if you continue to give, we can offer a loving, safe environment to children where they can grow and blossom. God has helped them. We've seen them grow physically. Just one more thing I want to mention to you. On the way out, on my banners, since I've been there in Romania now 10 years, we've seen a lot of children growing physically. And you'll see on the banners, I have a picture of Christy when he first arrived at the House of Hope and how he looks today. I have a picture of Georgie and Elvie when they first came to live at the House of Hope and how they look today. You can see how they've grown physically on the banners, but we see how they're growing also emotionally and spiritually and how we've been able to make a difference in their lives. And our prayer is that we can continue to do the work God has called us to do because we minister to children. For the past 10 years, it's been a privilege to work with the children and youth in Romania. I count it a blessing to be in God's work, and I never regretted the decision to answer God's call. I think of the blessings I would have missed if I would have never been in Romania. the children, the young people that I've been able to have in my life. It's been such a joy, and as I said, I never, ever regretted the decision to answer God's call. I've heard so many people say that they haven't been called to be a missionary, or they haven't been called to be a pastor, or they haven't been called into ministry. I want to share a quote with you from William Booth. He's the founder of the Salvation Army. This is what he said about being called. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible. Hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell. Hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their mothers and brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you profess to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstance in the march to publish his mercy to the world. We're not all called to go to Romania or to go to South Africa or go to Haiti, but are we not all called to evangelize the lost? There is a hurting, dying world out there that need to hear about God. What are we doing to share Jesus with them? We talked about hell in Sunday school. If we really understood where people were going to go when they died, I think we would think more about what we should do to share Jesus with the lost in a dying world. I don't always think the question is, are we called? People say that's the problem. I don't really think that's always the problem. I think most of the time, the majority of time, the problem or the question is, are we willing? When was the last time that you prayed, God, I will do what you want me to do? I'm not saying that he's calling you to another country, but maybe he's calling you to be more involved in the church or to get involved with the children's ministry. You have a vacation Bible school coming up. What are you going to do? God wants to hear the prayer, I'll do what you want me to do, but there's a problem that occurs. People pray, God, I'll do what you want me to do, and then a month passes, and they come forward again, and they pray, and they say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Then a year passes, and you come forward again, and you pray, God, I'll do what you want me to do. You're still dedicating your life to the Lord. You mean every word of it, but you haven't done anything for God in the past year. Don't let years pass you by. You look back on your life and realize that you wasted your life on things that would fade away. There was a poem written by J. Philip Hogan. I've used it in other years in deputation, but I feel like I wanted to share it again this morning. It's called, If I Could Just Be Young Again. This is what he wrote. If I could just be young again, and if I had the choice, to be a multimillionaire or have a famous voice, if I could have rare beauty or the best vocabulary, I'd turn my back on all these things and be a missionary. If I could have the wisdom of an Einstein, and if I choose fame, if I could have ability and wear the finest clothes, if I could choose to see the world, I would not fear nor tarry. I'd say goodbye to all these things and be a missionary. If I could just be young again, I'd yield to Christ my all. At early age, I'd answer yes to Jesus' loving call. Then say goodbye to home and friends. My other dreams I'd bury and follow Christ to lands afar. I'd be a missionary. I'd walk the dusty city streets where unsaved millions live. I'd tell the gospel of my Lord, my time, my love, I'd give. I would not trade the privilege to tell the gospel story for all the world could offer me of pleasures, wealth, and glory. Oh, to see a never-dying soul confess to Christ his sin, then watch him live a transformed life before his fellow men. It brings peace into the human heart, and it makes the angels sing. And it gives the missionary a joy this world could never bring. What if the sun does burn my brow? If children I can teach? What if I'm drenched by monsoon rains? The gospel truth to preach. What if I cannot have the food that once was customary? If I can give the bread of life, I'll be a missionary. The millions longing for the truth, in false religion's search, while Jesus waits for us to help establish his true church. If I were young, I'd choose a life like Livingston or Carey. And though my light would faint or shine, I'd be a missionary. As you get older and time passes you by, will you feel like this author? Will you say, I would have done something more for the Lord if I had more time? Or will you be happy with what you've done for the Lord? Don't wait until it's too late. There's a song I'm sure you've heard. It says, the time is now to be a willing sacrifice. The time is now to count the cost and pay the price. There's a hurting, dying world that needs to hear the message of the cross. The time is now. Two questions, simple questions. If not us, who? And if not now, when? If we're not going to talk to our neighbors, if we're not going to invite, if we're not going to share Jesus with people around us, who's going to do it? Pastor Ziegler will take care of it. The Sunday school teachers will be okay. No, we all have a responsibility to share Jesus with the lost and the dying world. And if we don't do it now, what are we waiting for? When? When will we do it? I'm going to end this service with a song. It's a song I actually heard in Romanian. I didn't know it was in English until about 3 years ago. I heard my grandmother singing it. It's an old song. I found it in English. It's written in 1901. It's called, Was That Somebody You? If you listen carefully, there are five verses. Four of the verses talk about someone who did something for the Lord, and one of the verses talks about someone who wasted their life and didn't do anything for God. And the chorus asks you, was that somebody you? Was that somebody you? Every day, we choose whether we're going to do something for the Lord. Are you doing something for God now, or are we still waiting? If not us, who? And if not now, when? Oh.
Thank you, Sally. What a message for us this morning. I don't know how we could sit through this morning without at least a tear welling up in an eye. And then the message brought right down to our lives. Once again, it reminds me of what I've been saying, not just saying it from the pulpit, but hearing it as well, that we do what we want to do. We live according to our priorities. May God help us. Thank you. Thank you so much for the message. Thank you so much for the fun. But thank God for what we've heard this morning.